Well, the Old Testament reading for, well, they call it proper 12 now, so I kind of, what is it, like the about the 10th or 11th Sunday of Pentecost will be a week from this coming Sunday? 9th? Well, okay. Yeah. It's interesting, I took a look at the other readings. You know, I mean, it used to be that the lectionary sought to make some kind of connection, I thought, thematically between the Gospel of the day and the Old Testament readings. I'm not sure that that practice has been as intentionally pursued in the LSV lectionary, because I'm assuming my colleague Dr. Raj will be along shortly to do the Luke 11 text from the Gospel. The Lucan version of the Lord's Prayer. Here we go. Here he is. But the Old Testament reading is an interesting one. It's Abraham's intercession for Sodom and Gomorrah. And checking the more thorough listing for the lectionary reading, you could reach back to verses 17 through 19 in Genesis chapter 18, which are, to some extent, a little bit of a preamble to the text, because in those verses, 17 through 19, Yahweh kind of consults himself. I mean, he and the other two men, as the text puts it, the ones who are angels who go on ahead to Sodom and Gomorrah, those are the three figures who had approached Abraham's tent. He prepared a meal. It's the occasion when Sarah laughs, and so on. But in verses 17 through 19 of chapter 18, Yahweh consults himself and asks, "Should I hide from Abraham what I am about to do?" And it appears that his resolve is, since I am making such significant promises to Abram, and have been since I called him, then verse 20 introduces Yahweh sort of declaring, at least in part, what he's going to do. And so there's this kind of, at first he seems to be talking to himself, now it's more like he tells Abraham, and then the pericope, the actual intercession, picks up from there and completes the chapter. Well, let's give it a go. Verse 20, "Vayomer Yahweh tzakat Sodom v'amorah ki rabah v'chatatham ki kavadah me'od." Yahweh said, the cry or outcry, here in construct, zakat, zaka or za'ak, really the root za'ak with a zion, to cry or cry out, and a corresponding root that begins with sada, za'ak, cry or cry out. Both are, they're, I guess, virtual synonyms. They can be used in an assortment of contexts. And they can be a cry as a plea, because the language of the psalmists often talks about, I call out or I cry out to Yahweh and he hears me. But in this case, it's more along the order of a clamor or a noise or something like that. It's everything that's going on in Sodom and Gomorrah that rises up and is, in fact, sort of accentuated, ki rabah, for it is, it is great in a sort of a volume or numerical sense. And then the last there, the shatatham, their sin, that also is something that is sort of multiplied or increasing before Yahweh, because it is very kavadah, very serious, very heavy, very grave. So notice here, I'm going to think maybe in a little bit larger terms in the sense of biblical theology, that here there is this kind of outcry that comes up before Yahweh, and it is a problematic one because of the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah, and that's a different kind of thing from what we encounter in Exodus 2, for example, the end of Exodus 2, when Yahweh hears the cry of his people in Egyptian slavery and resolves to come down and calls Moses actually to do that. So there's the symptom, is this clamor of two wicked cities infected by sin, and the sin is kavadah ma'od, very serious or very grave. Verse 21, Eirdana va ere, now nice tough one, ha ketzachata hava'a elai. I'll just kind of pause right there. A cohortative with that so-called particle of entreaty, which is, you know, God expressing his resolve and a determination, I will go down to see this, you know, to see what's going on. I will see, or there is oftentimes with the imperfect a kind of modal sense. I will go down in order that I might see or may see sort of its cry. Notice that the ha-ketzachata has the comets hey with mapik that indicate that it is the pronominal suffix. The cry which is coming up to me. Then the balance of the verse, asu kala, kind of they do, and there's kind of a seeing whether they are doing everything, the everything that is involved in the sin, in the reputation of Sodom and Gomorrah that is introduced up to that point. And then the im lo eda'a is along the lines, but if not, kind of, if they aren't doing what they are reputed to do, I'll know that, or I will sort of come to a conclusion about that. So there's this element at this point of inspection, and yet there is an awareness that Sodom and Gomorrah already are known to the reader, you know, through the narrator, that they are wicked places. So even though it's unexpressed, God doesn't say at this point, I'm going to go destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. It's kind of like we already know that that would be the logical outcome of Yahweh's visitation. Verse 22, Vayifnu Misham Ha'anashim. The men turned aside from there. And these are the two who have been accompanying Yahweh. Vayelaku Sodoma, and they went Sodomward. They went to Sodom. Locative or directive hey suffixed to Sodom at that point. So they have departed the scene. Now we have Va'Avraham Odenu Omeid Lifnei Yahweh. But Abraham, now that Odenu is kind of interesting. Ode, we know, as yet or still or something like that. But now it's got a pronominal suffix attached. And you look it up in the lexicons, and ode is treated as a kind of substantive. So it's kind of along these lines. But as for Abraham, his yetness, or his continuing, you know, was standing before Yahweh, which is the same as saying Abraham continued to stand in the presence of Yahweh. So it's just those two now who are going to carry on the conversation. Verse 23, but Yigash Abraham, Abraham drew near the Yomer, and he said, Ha'af, here the he is he interrogative, you always sort of hold the question mark for a moment. Surely you will sweep away, turn it around as a question, will you surely or indeed sweep away righteous with wicked, or the righteous with the wicked? That's the enunciation of a general sort of principle at this point. It shows that Abraham knows what should be happening, what should be the outcome at Sodom and Gomorrah, but he's just sort of already raising the possibility that there might be, as it were, a righteous remnant in Sodom and Gomorrah alongside the general wickedness. Verse 24, ulai, interesting sort of particle. In King James's, it would be something like peradventure, but a kind of a perhaps. Ulai yesh chamishim tzadikim betok ha'ir. Perhaps there exist, or maybe along these lines, suppose there exist chamishim, 50. Chemish is 5, and remember that the plurals of the basic cardinal numbers then add a 0, except for, of course, 10, which we'll encounter in a little bit. So perhaps there are 50 righteous ones in the midst of the city. Ha'af, ha'af tispeh, will you indeed sweep away, and below thissa lamakom laman chamishim tzedikim asher bekirba, will you indeed sweep away and not kind of lift up? And here nasa would seem to be along the lines of forbear, the kind of not lift the hand as to strike, but lift the hand, as to sort of withdraw, or lift up in respect to the place. Here, lama'an, which we sort of learn ordinarily as kind of a purpose-oriented word, here it's more on account of the 50 righteous ones who are in the midst of it, that is, the city. So the first step in Abraham's negotiation is, suppose there are 50 righteous people in Sodom or Gomorrah, will you still sweep them all away and not withhold your judgment for the sake of those 50? Then verse 25, Chalila Laka. Chalila is another fascinating thing. It's from the root chalal, which has to do with profaning. This is almost like saying, it would be so profane, so common of you, or to do, or the the works according to this word, according to this matter, would be too common of you to do in this way, to lachamit, to kill, tzaddik im rasha, to kill righteous with wicked. Vahaya ka tzaddik ka rasha. Here I would be inclined to treat that vahaya as almost like indicating a result or a conclusion, that if you kill the righteous along with the wicked, then it means the righteous are the same as the wicked. Like the righteous, like the wicked, or like the righteous, so the wicked. That there would be this kind of indiscriminate destruction, Abraham is proposing that that would be something unworthy. It would be beneath Yahweh to conduct himself in that way. Then we get another repetition. Chalila lak. It would be beneath you. Let's try that one. Ha shofet. Kol ha'aretz. Let's see. And here it's again, it's hey interrogative, so it would be beneath you. You know, would the one who judges all the earth, the judging one, shofet participle there, would the one who judges the whole earth not do justice, mishpat? And here, what Abraham is confronting Yahweh with is that the right thing to do, mishpat, in relation to God, is that he rescues the righteous, or he acts for the sake of the righteous more than he acts, in a sense, for the sake of himself by destroying the wicked. So the comments like those that Jesus makes in terms of the if the time were not extended for the sake of the elect, or that is why the time is extended in terms of God's forbearance and calling an end to things, is for the sake of the elect, that the full number of the elect might come in. Now Yahweh's response: V'yomer Yahweh. Im emtza b'sadam chamishim sadikim b'tok ha'ir. That's how he echoes Abraham's question. If I find in Sodom 50 righteous ones in the midst of the city, v'nasati l'kol hamakom ba'aburam, I will, again, sort of lift up, I will forbear in respect to the whole place on account of them. So the sort of the proper work of God, the narrow work to save and to act on behalf of his people is articulated here. Verse 27, Vayahan Abraham, Abraham answered, Vayomer, Hinena, Ho'alti, the Hinena, kind of, well, look, kind of look, please. I will, let's see, act, sort of, I will persist, or I will continue. Ya'al, be pleased, or even determined to speak to my Lord. Va'anoki afar va'efer. And here the va'anoki, the conjunction, is probably along the lines of a concession, though I am dust and ashes. So it's kind of like, I'm going to dare to speak a little bit more, even though I know my own position before you. 28, Ulai, perhaps. Yah Sarun Hamishim Hatsidikim Hamisha Hat Shihit Bahamisha Et Kol Ha'ir. Suppose there are, lacking 50 righteous ones, kind of by five. Suppose it's not 50, but it's five short. Will you destroy, on account of the five, the lacking ones, will you destroy on account of the five the whole city? Vayomer lo ashkit im emtsa sham arba'im va shamisha. Yahweh's response is, he says, I will not destroy if I find there 40 and 5. So I'll hang on. By Yosef Od, he kept on La Daber, to speak Elal to him. This is now Abraham returning again to speak, or continuing to speak. Ulai, perhaps, or suppose, Yematsun Sham Arbaim. Suppose there are found there 40. Vayomer, now Yahweh speaking again, Lo Eseh Ba'avur Ha'arba'im. I will not perform what I'm warning or threatening to do on account of the 40. Vayomer, Al Na Yechar Adonai. Abraham, please do not get angry, in regard to, let my Lord become angry. Adonai is sort of in regard to my Lord. Let there not be an anger develop in relation to my Lord. Va ad beira, but I will speak. Sort of again, or let me speak, a cohortative. Ulai, suppose Yematsun Sham Shilishim. Suppose there are found there 30. Yahweh says, Vayomer, Lo Ese Im Emtsa Sham Shilishim. I will not perform what I'm threatening to do if I will find there 30. Verse 31, Vayomer, Hinena, Abram again, Ho Alti, Lidaber, El Adonai. We had the same kind of, I will sort of presume to speak to my Lord again. Ulai Yematsun Sham Esrim. Suppose there are found there 20. Plural of 10 is 20, Eser to Eserim. Yahweh replies, Vayomer lo ashkit ba'avur ha'eserim. I will not destroy on account of the 10. 32, Vayomer al na yechar la'adonai. Va'ad be'ra. Same. Notice the kind of the alternation. Abram sort of says, well, I'll presume to speak this time. Then there's a don't be angry. Then there's a I'll presume to speak again. And now it's don't be angry. And I will speak Ak Hapa'am. This one last time. Ulai, suppose Yematsun Sham Asara. Suppose there are found there 10. Vayomer, Yahweh speaking, Vayomer lo ashhit ba'avor ha'asarah. I will not destroy for the sake of the 10. Last verse. And remember, Abram said, this is the last time I'm going to say anything. So, Vayelech Yahweh ka'asher kilah ledaber El Avraham. Yahweh kind of, you know, left, according to the ending or cessation to speak to Abraham. So the conversation is over. Yahweh goes away. Va'Avraham shav limkomo, returned to his place. Okay. So a fascinating little exchange between Abraham and Yahweh for the sake of the cities. And we see how he negotiates down, and we see the forbearance of Yahweh, the willingness to forbear or relent from the judgment that he has threatened. And it's just kind of, it is interesting. I mean, we know what happens eventually to Sodom and Gomorrah, so there aren't 50 righteous or 45 or however many. And yet, in principle, Yahweh demonstrates already that he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. So even though this one is kind of open-ended in terms of the pericope itself, you know, we recognize that God in Christ forbears for the sake of the one righteous, Christ himself. And I guess I would argue that the fun thing is to sort of see how Abraham intercedes for the wicked, and in Yahweh's response he shows to some extent the extent of his forbearance and grace and mercy, but it is transparently in his sending of the son and accepting the son's sacrifice, the sacrifice of the righteous for the wicked, that God demonstrates his mercy most clearly.